And the group is People's Memorial Association, and it was an instant yes for the work you do. And talk about things that everybody doesn't really talk about. I've noticed in my talking of death and grief, we don't talk about it enough.
No, we don't.
And it seems normal to me. I was talking to Amy last night about, like, what are we going to talk about? She goes, we have to remember that most people aren't talking about these things. So when we talk, that alone might help.
Yeah, definitely.
And then it gets into planning for those things, resources for those things. People know what to do. And as I'm sure you will attest, that when most cases when someone passes, you are thrown into this situation and don't know what to do, who to call, how to go about dealing with your loved ones, or if they didn't make any plans, which a lot of people, I highly recommend that you do.
Please do.
So anyways, Nora Menken is here, Executive Director for People's Memorial Association. Why don't you tell everybody what it is, a brief history of your organization, and why it was founded in the first place.
Oh, People's Memorial Association was founded in 1939. We're celebrating our 80th anniversary this year. Yeah. And it was a group of people who got together basically to protest the high cost of funerals. People were tired of going broke paying for this final expense that we're all going to face at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So they got together and approached a funeral home in Seattle and said, we will send all of our members to you, but please, can you offer a discounted rate? Can you offer this newfangled thing called cremation that's more economical? No sales pressure, please. And we'll make up for the discount by the volume of people we send you. So it was a cooperative. And that relationship lasted for over 60 years. That funeral home was bought out. The members didn't have anywhere else to go, so they decided to open their own funeral home. So in 2007, we opened the co-op funeral home here on Capitol Hill, and we're now like the fifth highest volume funeral home in the state.
So it's my understanding that conventional burial practices are increasingly more difficult to sustain, that you're not building more cemeteries. You can't. Right?
It can be very difficult. It uses up a lot of land. Yeah.
So what are the examples of like life options and initiatives here in this state for people?
So Washington State is now going to be one of the most progressive states in terms of final options. This year, Governor Inslee finally signed a bill legalizing aquamation and recomposition. So there are two new forms of disposition that are much more eco-friendly on top of our usual options of cremation and burial.
I was kind of surprised to learn how bad for the environment death is. Like, I know that sounds weird to say out loud, but I was looking into this. I was like, this is terrible. And it's one last thing you can kind of do to maybe help the planet, right?
We don't want our final act on Earth to pollute it even more. But at the same time, there are, you know, cultural and religious things to work in. But the nice thing about having additional options is that hopefully people can talk about it more. They're new, they're kind of weird to some people, but hopefully it spurs discussion and people can talk about what they want before it's really needed.
You know, it reminds me of people, you know, my wife in medical school went through Gross Lab, and people donate their bodies.
They do.
And I thought, I couldn't even, you know, you hear about that, but then when she was in it, I thought, what amazing people these were.
Like,
that healers are going to come out of this, and they would be, they wouldn't be as good as doctors if these people hadn't made these decisions before they passed, let alone like organ donation and things like that, which is super important.
It is.
but these actual decisions you make before you pass, are important, right?
Definitely. And yes, the UW has a willed body program. And I met a wonderful woman who had gone through medical school in the 50s. And she said of the folks that they studied in that, there was one woman that was studied by this class of mostly men. And so she wanted to donate her body because she thought that women were both underrepresented in the field and in studying it.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
That sounds about right. Wow. So tell us about the organization, too, how you're funded and what you have going on. I'm curious how it all works.
Yeah, so we are a membership group, and we've stayed a membership group since 1939, and we currently have about 72,000 living members, above-ground members. but we are sustained by that. It's a one-time membership fee, and then our members are also our donors. Most of our donations come from our members. They're between $75 and $100, and fortunately, that has sustained us this long. But, you know, changing landscape, especially in Seattle.
Yeah.
We are working towards finding new funding sources as well, which leads us to our first fundraiser that we will be hosting December 14th.
I guess it's interesting that your first fundraiser is on your 80th anniversary.
I know. We really should have done it before this.
Tell us about it.
So it's called The After Party.
Nice. Well played.
Thank you. Yes, thank you.
The After Party.
And we will be at Cornish Playhouse, just around the corner over here. But it'll be a really fun evening. We've got Caitlin Doty and Katrina Spade for our VIP event, which is an hour before our main event. And then they'll be in conversation about some of these alternative options that we just talked about. And then Caitlin Doty will be doing a live Ask a Mortician for our main event as well.
When is that?
December 14th. The VIP event starts at 4:00. The main event starts at 5:00.
Well, good. We can get more information at peoplesmemorial.org, right?
Yes, please.
And can I ask you one other question? What drew you to the Death and Music event?
Well, you.
Well, thank you.
And again, we've been having this conversation for 80 years, and we really appreciate that you have been talking about it on air for so long, because it really is a taboo, and people have a real hard time talking about it, expressing the need for help, expressing that they don't know what to do.
Right.
And the fact that any avenue to get the conversation started, we are fully in support of, and music is definitely something that opens people up.
We'll probably talk about it tonight. We were talking last night about, you know, when you in that room, you talk about music, and maybe outside of the room, it's not as, maybe people aren't saying this, but I don't know how you get through it without music. Like, I don't know how you get through a day without music. I'm a little biased.
You're a little biased.
I host a morning show at KXP, but I don't know how I would have got through any of this grief. I have no idea. I think back now, and I wasn't thinking it at the time, but when my mom was dying, I would put music on and I would go running. Running's the other thing that clearly has saved my life.
Yeah.
But I would run and run. It was like a John Cusack movie. I was just like, you know, running to my junior high. I was running to all these places without even knowing it.
Yeah.
And along the way, these songs would play. I just can't imagine, because you can't come up with the words. You need other people too sometimes.
Definitely.
And the surprise that I got when my parents died was how ill-prepared we were, not just for their death and their being gone, but having to make plans in that state that you're in.
Yeah.
Like, I was not in a state to be planning anything. My mom was pretty well known in Spokane, and we had a massive funeral, and I had to do the whatever.
Yeah, you really want to do event planning.
I had to do the event planner. Yeah. I was like the speaker. I was like, this sucks. And I'm sure it was not my best work.
And I'm sure you were judged heavily for it.
I'm sure I was. That is true, though. You do have a kind audience. But I can't express enough that planning ahead for your family members and for yourself, it's a little bit of peace of mind in a time where you're going nuts.
It's a really hard conversation to have, but it's even harder when you layer on the grief, the lack of sleep, everything that happens when you've finally lost someone. And definitely talking about ahead of time. No one has ever regretted having that conversation. Yeah. It's a really one hard one to start, but kind of the anticipation of talking about it is almost worse than the actual conversation.
Well, Nora here with People's Memorial Association. I my hat's off to you, because I have to say it is the hardest marketing thing I have will ever run into. Come into the Death and Music show tonight.
In the morning.
In the morning. We're going to do nothing but grief. So tune in. So we are on the same page. Thank you for coming, and thank you for supporting the show. And I know you'll be there tonight.
Yes.
At Death and Music. Again, there's a few tickets available. You can go to kxp.org/events. You can find out more information about People's Memorial Association at peoplesmemorial.org. And again, their fundraiser is coming up December. Find out more information about that. I know you've been sponsoring death dinners as well, wasn't that?
Yeah, we did a death over dinner last month. It went really well.
Yeah, I couldn't make it. I was gone, but I was invited, and I really wanted to support
that.
We'll
do it again.
Good. Yeah. So look for those as well. And it's just more ways that we can talk about the end of life and really make it a little easier for the people still here.
Yeah.
That's our whole thing.
Because we're the ones left behind.
We are the ones left behind. And that reminds me of, I was trying to think of a performance from last year's Death and Music. And Math and Physics Club played an incredible show. It was the first time, it was just months after a member of their band passed. And tomorrow we're going to debut a song on the show that they wrote for their fallen comrade, but they hadn't performed yet since his passing. And I found it to be one of the more powerful performances I've ever witnessed in live music. And this is a cover of their fallen friends, one of his favorites, called Indian Song.
All right, let's play this song. Breakfast in cemetery, boy tasting wild cherry, touch girl, apple blossom, just a boy playing possum. We'll come back for Indian summer. We'll come back for Indian summer. We'll come back for Indian summer and go our separate ways.